Last Sunday we looked at the gift of Himself, God's gift to us. What a wonderful gift it was, the greatest gift, as we just heard about. The greatest gift. And I mentioned last week about all the gifts that we give. My wife's gift did arrive in the mail this week, and she just jumped up and down with exuberance and joy and clapped her hands. So glad to get it out of the box. Not. She just wasn't accepting that as her gift. Try as you might, it's kind of hard to satisfy some people. You know, there's a point to that. Are you thinking about it? When we give gifts, are they meaningful gifts? Or do we give in order to be benefited ourselves? Because that's what that gift is. It's a gift for me. Are they meaningful gifts? Yeah, we're going somewhere. Chad and I were talking a week or so ago about gifts, and I think we were talking ultimately about this gift that I'm referring to as my wife's. The subject of handguns came up, and I'd made mention that I gave my wife a handgun some years before. I don't remember when it was, but she doesn't do anything with it. I carry it. And Chad said, well, that's why I'd buy her a gun every year then. God's gift of Himself to us was weighted heavily with meaning. Maybe you could say that it was turned around so that God could be the recipient of us giving back to Him. But ultimately, God so loved the world that He gave. What about our gift to Him? What about the gift that we put together, that we provide, that we wrap up in a package and give back to Him? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. The gift that we give back to God, wrapped up in the package of our lives, the package of what we are, who we are, what we become. Oh, I don't have any control over what I become. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We have choices to make. The choices that we make set the direction that we go, and the direction that we go is pointing to the destination we will arrive at some point. God gives us grace. God provides all the things that we need to make the right choices, to go in the right direction, to arrive at the right destination. The things that we become accustomed to, the things that we become accustomed to, we begin to take for granted. And when we take things for granted, we lose their vitality. And in the midst of all of our giving of ourselves to God, if we take things for granted. For instance, we take our gift of ourselves to God for granted. We no longer hold it keenly in our thinking that I am the temple, my body is the temple, that I am a gift to God. Then I take it for granted. And as I take it for granted, I lose the vitality of that gift, the reality of that gift, or the keen edge of that gift. Ye are not your own. He goes on in the next verse and says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The gift of ourselves. If we give ourselves to Him, then we are acknowledging in our thinking, acknowledging in our lives, acknowledging in the choices of our lives that we are not our own, that we belong to Him, that the choices that we make should reflect that gift to Him. What does the gift of ourselves look like? I'm not talking about the pretty package that we wrap ourselves up in. I'm not talking about the painting that we give of ourselves, of how we portray ourselves and how we try to show ourselves to God. I'm talking about the gift that we really give to God, the gift that He's actually receiving. As we think about the gift of ourselves to God, we have to acknowledge, we have to somewhere come into our thinking and bring it into our spiritual vision that as we are a gift to God, that everything about us revolves around God. It used to be that the church was the focal point of a Christian's life. Everything about that individual's life revolved around the church because the church was God's institution, because the church was what God had established in the New Testament, and it was the church, the elements of the church that people were drawn to in their relationship with God and their relationship to God and their hunger and thirst for God. It had to do with the church, either the function of the church on Sunday or the functions of the church throughout the week. But their lives revolved around the church. But now, more and more we see that the church has to fit in to the life. Now we see as we give ourselves to God that there's these things that the church or the things of God that are being presented to us, they are out here on the peripheral and they're only included as we have time for, or we have need for, or we have desire for, rather than having those things be the focus. It's easy for us at this point to begin pointing our fingers at somebody else that we see, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our particular need, about our particular gift. Oh yeah, I know, I don't have any gifts. God didn't give me any gifts. You see, God didn't give me the gift of public speaking. God didn't give me the gift of Sunday school teaching. God didn't give me the gift of playing an instrument. God didn't give me the gift. And on we go with the list of things that God didn't gift us with. I believe it was John Maxwell that said, don't try to get your worst gift and build it up. He said, take your top several gifts and begin to improve them and develop them and to see how you can get them from maybe being a 4 or a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. But you develop those top gifts and make them a 6 or a 7 or an 8, and you develop those gifts. God doesn't necessarily give us a gift and say, here, this is the grand gift. There's no way that you can develop this to be any better. I have given it to you the best that you can do. No, that's not what God does. God gives us a gift and then gives us the means to develop that gift. So don't sit back and say, well, I don't have any gifts. God gives gifts severally. He gives gifts to everybody that comes to Him. And so it's our responsibility to give that gift back to Him. What does our gift look like? Granted, not everybody's going to be a public speaker. Granted, not everybody's going to be a Sunday school teacher, but surely there's more than what... Subline here, it's full teeth to get nominations for Sunday school teachers. See, God gives us gifts to do something. Sometimes it may appear to be insignificant because it's not in the public eye, because it's not in the limelight, it's not in the spotlight. But God gives us a gift, and so we in turn then give that gift back to Him. What does our gift look like? How do we package it up? How do we wrap it up? What do we do to make it pleasing and profitable to God? Something that He will enjoy, something that He will like, something that He'd be pleased with. Not allowing the things of God to revolve in the peripheral around us, but allowing the things of God to be the center, and we do everything around God. Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Dwelleth in you. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. There's some powerful verses there. It's not so far removed from the first verses that we looked at there in 1 Corinthians 6. It's very similar to it. But here we take on a different hue. We take on a different aspect in that we find now that as a temple of God, that not only are we giving back to Him the gift, but we are doing all that we can to keep the gift holy. That we are doing all that we can, that we are living the way that we ought to live so that we are not defiling the gift. The mind. The heart. The body itself. Wait a minute, Brother Ziegler, you're preaching to the choir this morning. Like I said, the things that we take for granted, we soon lose the vitality of. We soon lose the clear vision of. Perhaps we just simply need to be reminded about the importance of giving the gift back to God in the state or in the condition that is pleasing to Him. And that is what? Holiness. I don't do all those things that defile the body, preacher. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not taking in things and aspects that are destroying my body or hurting my body. I'm not consuming those things that are very destructive. But he's not just talking about defiling the temple as the physical aspect, but he's also talking about the spirit, the mind, the heart of things. What about the things that we take in by way of our eyes and the things that we take in by way of our ears? And from those things, there's a foothold that the enemy can use, the devil himself can use against us. We can become so accustomed to sin. We can become so accustomed to the ugliness of sin that it no longer appears to be as ugly as what it is. Language today is cheapened. A lot of people in the world today, I'm not talking to anybody here. If I'm talking to somebody here, then please go home and correct it. I'm not talking to anybody here that I'm aware of at all, but sometimes people talk in such a way that they don't even realize that what they're saying doesn't make sense because of the words that they use, the vulgar words that they use, the curse words that they don't even fit. You want to talk about the breakdown of grammar? I'm not talking about the use of ain't or warsh. I'm talking about words they can't talk without cussing. I want to stop and ask him sometime, how does that fit there? Yeah. They'd probably look at me funny because they had no clue what they even said. Last Sunday, I think one of the songs that we sang said something about the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, something about the name of Christ being meaningful to us. And when I hear somebody take the name of Christ in vain, they just use it as a byword or as a curse word. Even at that point, something in me stands up and says, hey, now that's my Savior that you're talking about there. Even when somebody uses it derogatorily, it still speaks to me because he is still the Savior, my Savior. But we can become so accustomed. No, we may not participate in it, but it no longer appears to be as ugly as what it is. And so we are bordering on that point that our gift will be tarnished. We could spend a lot of time talking about the different aspects of life that is being brought down and degraded and changed. Language, dress, lifestyles, the patterns, the entertainment. All kinds of things that are being brought down lower and lower because we are comparing ourselves among ourselves, or we are comparing ourselves with other people that claim to be of the same faith. And so when we compare ourselves to them, we're saying, well, I'm still a pretty good guy. I'm still a pretty good girl. I'm not so bad. I still have this kind of a standard, and I still have this kind of a measure of righteousness and holiness. And surely you can't judge me on this. It's not a matter of judging ourselves on this or comparing ourselves among ourselves. We must be made aware that we are being lulled to sleep because things are becoming more customary. And as they become more customary, we become accustomed to them. And as we become accustomed to them, we take them for granted and we lose the vitality. The gift of ourselves, what does it look like? What is it in the hands of God when he receives the gift? As he removes the paper that we have wrapped ourselves in and convinced ourselves that we are beautiful and looking fine and looking nice, and he removes that paper, that wrapping, and he gets to the inside and he sees us for what we really are. I think Paul addresses it. At least he addresses it in measure for us to really take into consideration, really take into some serious thinking on it, for us to be able to speak to ourselves from his address. It's so familiar. I'm almost embarrassed to bring it up again because it's such repetitiveness that I bring it to us, that I consistently bring it back over and over again. But here it is. It's what God has given us. It's what Paul wrote, and God ordained it to be for us today. He said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Your reasonable gift. Your reasonable work. Could I go so far this morning to suggest that when he says the reasonable work or the reasonable service could be something that he is wanting us to have a focus in our lives, the center of our lives, so that everything else revolves around it? Could it be that God is wanting us to have at the center of our lives his interests? His interests. So that when his interests conflict with my interests, whose interests comes out on top? Whose interest comes out on top? His interest or my interest? That's a tough question. Because as we are seated here this morning thinking about it, it's easy for us to say within our mind, within our thinking, within our rationale, that we are saying, yes, his interest always comes out on top. But does it really, when we go out from here and the rubber meets the road and our life begins to progress and we forget the vitality of that verse? Because we have become accustomed to it, and we become accustomed to our life, and we've become accustomed to our gift, and we've become accustomed to it being acceptable to God, whether it is or not. We just become accustomed that it is, because we've grown that way. We've grown accustomed. And as we've grown accustomed, we've taken it for granted. Oh yeah, we want to go back and forget about the gift of ourselves. We want to simply focus on the gift of himself. For God so loved the world that he gave. Let's go back and talk about that one, preacher. Let's look at that one a little bit longer, because that's really the best gift. And sure enough, it is. It's our reasonable service. What is our reasonable service? Reasonable service is making him and his interest the center. Not my family. Oh yes, family is a high priority. Family is a high priority. You know, who could I look at here this morning that doesn't believe that? Families get together all the time. There's all kinds of activities of families. And so we see that family is a high priority. It's not that somebody's busy. It's that that you're not high enough on their priority list to give them attention. It's not that they're too busy. Did you get that? Well, I can't do that because I've got all these things going on. Well, you see, once again, all that it is, as you break it down, it's not that I'm too busy, it's that it's not a high enough priority. Because we live by our priorities. Don't argue with me. That's a fact. I don't believe there's any possible way you can change my thinking on that. We live by our priorities. Every one of us do. Yeah, I'm so busy. And my priorities that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. How tragic would it be as we celebrate Christmas, the grand time of all of these gifts. How tragic would it have been if I would have received that box in the mail and had been successful at getting it all wrapped up nice and pretty. It was pretty heavy. I think it was said to be 52 pounds. Oh man, when you get a box that's pretty heavy, too heavy for you to lift, man, this is going to be good. I could have wrapped it all up, had it underneath the tree, and presented it to my wife on Christmas morning. This is too heavy for you to lift, hon. Really feeling good about myself. And then for her to open that up, and as she tore the paper off, it was revealed the contents of that box right there on the box. And the expression on her face would have told me very quickly that her thought immediately was, don't tell me that what's in this box is what's on that picture. The look on her face would have quickly told me that is not what I want. No, it maybe not have been that bold and mean, but it would have been there, wouldn't it? Are you with me? Did you translate that over spiritually already? That on Christmas morning, when all the wrapping paper is thrown away and burn it in the burning pile or burn in the furnace, whatever it is, however you dispose of all that wrapping, when it's all said and done and God is holding his heavy box, is he looking at it and saying, it's pleasing? Or it's unpleasing. Because our priorities are pictured on the box. Our priorities have categorized them in the contents of the box. And so as we focus so much on the gift of himself, what about focusing and looking and realizing afresh and anew that the gift of ourselves is also meaningful and necessary and vital, not to be taken for granted, not to be drawn and grown accustomed to, but to bring it to the vitality of our thinking, to the forefront of our thinking, that the gift of ourselves is just as important to God as his gift is to us. I'm not my own, I'm his. And by his mercy, he's asking that I present him the gift, that his interests are centered in our lives, that everything else revolves around the package of ourselves. What does it look like to God? What does your gift to God look like today? For God so loved the world that he gave. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give back to him. Let's stand together this morning.